Cat Mayo Hour.
Welcome to the Pat Mayo Hour, week 7. Yes, it's actually week 7. Rankings debate every position. Hopefully the audio problems from last week have been rectified, but I'm not going to know until after we're done, so they might be shit again. Who knows? Chris Meany's here. What's up?
I'll try to speak into the microphone this time. I thought I did it last time, too, but we've had some changes here in the studio a little bit, so
yeah.
It's a work in progress.
Yeah, so hopefully I'm not, like, peeking out this week, and you're like, oh, hi, I'm Chris Meany. Here's my advice.
I like DeMarco Murray's pretty good.
He's pretty good. He is pretty good. He's number one in the running back rankings this week. That's how good he is. He is at one. Bell is at two. David Johnson, LeSean McCoy, Melvin Gordon up against the Falcons. Devonta Freeman, Christine Michael, Todd Gurley, Lamar Miller, and Spencer Ware round out the top 10. I had significant issues ranking guys this week, more so than probably any other week this season. I mean, I don't really know what's going on with the Spencer Ware, Jamal Charles situation.
I know, it's tough.
The fact that I have Freeman at number 6 terrifies me to no end, but I mean, the guy keeps producing. He's out snapping Tevin Coleman, and I mean, how is Landry Jones going to affect Le'Veon Bell? I don't know.
I know. Hey, that's tough. We'll get into that in a little bit, but. It's not a great situation.
Carlos Hyde's not catching passes with Colin Kaepernick. Mark Ingram proving himself out to be the worst.
Yeah. And a tough matchup in Kansas City this week.
Yeah, so
there's a lot of good football players who have tough matchups. I mean, Ingram's quarterback. I mean, Drew Brees. Drew Brees is awesome at home. Twice now at home, over 30 points. Gets on the road. Like, what do you expect from him? Maybe a touchdown? Like, this is not a great matchup for him at Arrowhead.
No, and we'll get to the quarterback rankings, but I want to stick with running backs for the moment. So, out of the guys inside the top 10, like, I mentioned, like, Michael, Gurley, Miller, I don't even feel great about those guys. Like, I mean, it's a tough matchup for Christine Michael at Arizona.
Yes.
It's tough for Todd Gurley. It's hard-ish to run on the Giants as opposed to passing on them. Mm-hmm. I mean, Lamar Miller's going up against Denver.
I know. And he really hasn't done anything besides, you know, last week. It was a great week. And that's why you have Murray at number one, because he went up against the Colts and he was fantastic.
And Murray's still one of the five guys that I'm probably going to rank inside the top five regardless.
Yeah, every single week. He's one of the most consistent players in football. And Bell's probably not going to take too much of a hit without.
He might do better.
They might just give him the ball a little bit more. Maybe we might see J'Angelo Williams a little bit more, too. It's not somebody you can start, but maybe that they just run the ball a lot more than what we're used to seeing. McCoy, awesome. All these guys, I mean, even Coleman and Freeman, they're both in the top 10 right now in terms of PPR points for running backs.
I feel like that's hard to sustain itself, though.
It is, and it's really weird because, as you said, Freeman's been getting all the touches. He's been getting all the carries. He's been getting all the snaps, but it's Coleman who is number one in yards after catch in the NFL. They're just getting him the ball in open space, and this is just it's just a good matchup.
It's a terrific matchup.
Yeah.
But the problem is when it's, you know, the yards after catch, the involvement in the passing game, things we're not used to seeing. Plus, the yards after catch seems like a logical regression number. Like, you're just not going to get that many. No one does.
Yeah, exactly.
So I would feel more comfortable with Freeman over Coleman. But, I mean, for reference, I have Coleman at number 16.
Yeah, that's not bad. Yeah,
like weirdly
still startable
enough,
back.
If you have both of them, you might start them. Like,
you might, yeah.
I have a team right now where I have just no running backs whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But I have Jamal Charles and I have Spencer Ware. I might start both of those guys this week.
You could have got away with it last week.
I didn't know that at the time.
I don't think anybody knew that. And it was just the game strip. Talking to a Chiefs fan here in the office, he was just like, listen, it was just, you know, Spencer Ware. It was a great matchup, and why not just ride Spencer Ware? I mean, why risk hurting Charles in a great matchup where you can just play both of them and sprinkle them in? I think that's going to be the same situation. Maybe we see a little bit more Charles this week, but Spencer Ware is still going to be involved, and I have him ranked ahead of Charles as well. And I would start them both. If I was in a tough situation, I have them both in leagues. I handcuff Charles with Ware, and I'm probably going to start Charles is like a flex, or where is a flex? Like, who cares where they plug in the starting lineup?
Yeah,
they're both going to get in.
Yeah, I have Charles at number 17 in the PPR rankings. That's more of like, it's the best matchup of the week. Playing New Orleans as a running back is the best matchup you can basically have outside of quarterbacks versus the Lions.
Yeah, I've just my notes, they've given up the most points to running backs and the most touchdowns on the ground to running 10 touchdowns. So
yeah, and they even gave up a rushing touchdown to Cam Newton last week, too.
Yeah, exactly.
So just they're bad. They're worse on the ground, and it's clear the Chiefs want to run the ball.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it even hurt Matt. Against Oakland, you can pass all over Oakland. They didn't even need to do
they didn't do that, really.
So if we think about, like, snap count wise, let's theoretically say there is 100 snaps in this game. How many do you think go to Ware? How many do you think go to Charles? Like 65, yeah. 35 Ware? 60-40 Ware?
I was leaning more 60-40, I think, and just in terms of another nice matchup. Maybe they just give the ball a little bit more to Charles and just get his confidence up and just give him a little bit of confidence with his knee, because that seems to be the issue. I remember when we watched the game here on Sunday, when his first carry, I think it was like from the 5, he didn't get in. He got to like the 1.
But he was pounded.
But how pumped was he?
And he pulled the pile along with him.
Yeah, he pulled the pile, and he was just really excited and just ecstatic about that play from
just
him.
Being healthy.
Being healthy, confidence with the knee, and I think we're going to continue to start that, because that's what Andy Reid was vocal about at the start of the season, is listen, we're not going to rush this guy back. We feel like we can make the playoffs without him being fully involved in our offense until we get to here we are, week 7, week 8, week 9. Now it's crunch time for some of these teams moving forward. Denver isn't that good inside that division. There's a chance for KC to win that division and have themselves potentially even a bye if they get on a roll now.
Yeah, so I made a league in my keeper league this week. I traded Andrew Luck for Jamal Charles.
Okay.
I don't love it, but
Do you have another quarterback?
I got Bortles.
You're fine.
It was actually with Andrew Kust. I got him to throw in Bortles in the deal.
Oh. Nice.
Whatever. Yeah. I really wanted Jameis. He wouldn't give him up, though.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like where I have no running backs and I have Spencer Ware, but now I'm in the situation, I was like, oh, I have Spencer Ware. If anything happens to Charles, I can just play Spencer Ware. I'll be good to go. I'll play Charles in the meantime. But, like, now it's between, like, Charles and Bobby Rainey for my team.
Yeah.
Rebuild years in keeper leagues suck.
Oh, they're tough.
They're the worst. And I'm 500. I'm still kind of in it.
Yeah, you're still
so my team is terrible.
Though that's the thing about keeper leagues. I'm in a few that are, like, in their 5th, 6th year, and you feel like your team is awful. But then when you look at everybody else's team, they're kind of in the same situation. There's always one or two that are really,
really
nice.
There are three really good teams in a 14-team league, and everyone else is like, everyone scores 70 points a week.
Yeah.
I have Pryor. He's all right.
It's just a grind. I mean, yeah, Pryor. I mean, he's 9th in the league in targets. It turns out to be a nice piece for like a keeper league like that when you need somebody to kind of step up for you.
But I mean, this is where I have to go. If I can get a 20 combined points out of those two guys, I feel like I'm doing well.
Yeah, and I think that you will this week. I think
probably more.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a similar stat line that Ware had last week again this week, and maybe Charles finds the end zone.
All right, so we've done the split backs in Atlanta, the split backs in KC. So the 11-20 rankings have Doug Martin, who's expected to return at number 11 in a great matchup against the 49ers. Yeah. Obviously, if he doesn't play, just like move Jaquizz Rogers up to that spot.
Yeah.
He's going to touch the ball 40 times.
Exactly. What they did last week, I mean, they gave this ball 36 touches. I mean, nobody has done that yet in the NFL this year. Maybe Lamar Miller just did it. But last year, Freeman was the only guy to have 36 touches. So, yeah, they're just going to give Jaquizz the ball.
I wouldn't expect 36 touches, but I expect 25.
Yeah, I would expect 20-25 for sure. I mean, he's going to catch the ball 5 times, maybe get 20 carries.
And even if Martin is back and is healthy coming off the bye week, I mean, he's been out for 3 weeks now? 3-4 weeks?
Yeah, 4 for sure.
Yeah,
I'd
so he's
four.
So he's been able to recover. They gave him and that's good news for Doug Martin owners that they actually gave him time to get healthy. Remember we saw this with Shady at the beginning of last year?
Yeah, and
he played on the shitty hamstring and just he was bad.
Yeah, he could never get full health because he rushed and he played. It was a new team. He wanted to play, get on the football field, and that hurt him. And now look at him this year. I mean, he's awesome.
But even towards the end of last year, they gave him the week off. They had a bye week. He came back, and he was great.
Yeah.
So hopefully Martin can do that too. But I do think that Jaquizz Rogers still has a role, almost like Charles Sims has.
Exactly.
Like, they're not going to ask Doug Martin to stand back there and catch 5 balls a game. Yeah. They will ask Jaquizz Rogers to do that.
I think if Martin plays this week, people that have Jaquizz can still play him in like a flex spot in PPR
formats. PPR leagues, yeah. Where do I have Jaquizz? I have a number 45.
So 45, yeah. And I wonder about Doug Martin. And I guess this maybe is similar to Stewart, where I think myself thought maybe Stewart wouldn't get that full workload, and he did. And you talked about on FSC Sunday is that maybe Cam won't rush all the time. He did have the rushing touchdown, but they gave it to Stewart
in close,
which they normally don't do. So I wonder if Martin is going to be full health. I think that Jaquizz, even with Martin, will still touch the ball like 10 times,
so,
10 to 12 times.
Yeah, so like for reference with Rodgers, like he's in the same range as like I have Dwayne Washington as if he's going to play. Mm-hmm. He's at 40. Then we have like Rashad Jennings, TJ Yeldon, Devontae Booker, who Gary Kubiak came out and said that he expects him to get more work last week. I think that's why his snap count went down, because Kubiak wasn't coaching.
Yeah, that's probably the case. Yeah, I mean, because he was vocal about that before, and we talked about that a couple weeks ago, is how it's slowly starting to happen with Booker. So I think we'll start to see that, almost like a split at times.
Yeah, I have CJ Anderson at number
12. You got him there at 12.
Number 12, yeah. So I have Devontae Booker at 43, CJ Anderson at 12. Should they be closer? Or, I mean, the way that I think about it is that if I have these guys on my team, I'm definitely starting CJ Anderson.
Yes, you have to.
And I'm probably not starting Devontae Booker.
Yeah, I have Booker in a couple of leagues. Booker in this work 14 team league where I'm really hurting that back and I'm not going to start him. Like, I have Ivory and I have Cincinnati Hill. Like, I expect maybe this could finally perhaps be a Hill week.
It seems like a Hill week, doesn't
it? Yeah, it does because Cleveland is so bad, but I still think maybe, like, just the way the game script has gone and just the way the plays, that maybe it's just, again, Geo. Like, at best, it's a split for Hill. Like, it's...
Yeah, with those two guys, I have Jeremy Hill at number 23. And remember, this is PPR scoring. Mm-hmm. And I have Geo Bernard at 27. I like the matchup for both of them, but the reason that I have them both sort of in that range is because I don't know which one's getting the ball. Yeah. They're giving Geo Bernard 4th-and-1 carries from the goal line against New England. Like, what's going on?
I know, and that's what we thought. We were like, okay, if anything, like, Geo's going to catch the balls, and when they get close into the red zone, it's going to be Hill, so that's confusing too. I think that for me, in PPR formats, I'm giving the boost to Hill. Or to Geo.
To Geo.
I just
feel like it
one.
Is a Hill game, though.
It should be.
But that's why they're both low, because I don't know.
Yeah.
If you, you seem to have a better grasp on this. At least you feel like Geo is the guy. You rank Geo ahead. You play Geo.
But it's close to me in my rankings as well.
And if anyone out there has a really strong feeling out of it, this is a great matchup.
Yeah.
So if you really feel confident in one of those guys, move them way up whatever rankings you want.
Yeah, I mean, Cincinnati should have their way. I mean, I like Andy Dalton this week, too. So,
I love Andy.
Yeah,
Andy?
Yeah.
Maybe break my hand in the triple plays.
So you think that Andy's going to throw the ball to Geo a few times as well and just heavily target A.J. Green. But if we're going to see a week, it has to be from Hill. But I have this slight boost for me that it's Geo just because what I've seen for the past couple weeks. And I know Hill's been banged up. Even a couple weeks ago, his yards per carry, they were fine. There was like 4.6. But he only rushed the ball 5 times, and he couldn't stay on the football field because his shoulder was dinged up. So that may be an issue as well still.
Doug Martin, 11. C.J. Anderson, 12. Jordan Howard, number 13. Carlos Hyde, 14. You have guest-ranked Mark Ingram, the worst Mark Ingram, number 15. They hate giving him the ball.
Yeah.
They hate it. They'd rather give it to Kobe Fleener on a rush. Tevin Coleman, 16. Jamal Charles, 17. Matt Jones, 18. 19 is Matt Forte, and 20 is Frank Gore. Outside of that, there's like LeGarrette Blount, Jay Ajayi, Jeremy Hill, Terrence West, Isaiah Crowell.
See, I would have White. I would have White ahead of Blount.
James, but in this game, with the way that I expect it to go, and we just saw Jay Ajayi pound the Steelers on the ground. Yeah. If someone's going to do the work on the ground, knowing they're going against Landry Jones, that they can probably run the ball a lot in this game. It's not that I don't think Brady's going to be good. I think he is.
Yeah.
But I think this is almost like you think it's a Hill. I think it's a Hill game over a Geo game. I feel like this may be more of a Blount game over a White game.
Yeah, it certainly can be. I mean, when we were watching that game, we kind of made a couple comments to ourselves. It's like, well, White's carrying the ball, and Blount had a couple passes thrown to him. What's going on? It's another situation that was kind of confusing. But when that game got out of hand, it was all Blount in the fourth quarter. So if they do get up, but I mean, Brady is, I mean, he targeted White 8 times. He's targeted him 15 times in 2 games. So he's going to continue to do that. He's going to catch 5 or 6 balls.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect the touchdowns to follow.
No, that's the thing. Like, he won't get 2 touchdowns every game.
And the problem is if he doesn't score a touchdown and he ends up with his, like, 5 for 45 or whatever it is, he doesn't end up with, like, 7 for something like that, he's in mid-20s. Like, I wouldn't go out of my – I wouldn't be like, I have to start James White this week.
Yeah.
But if I have James White and I have to start him, I don't feel too bad about it.
Yeah, I don't feel too bad about it either. I'm starting him as a flex in one league. And we talked about this last week with Foster. It's kind of why we like Foster. I mean, he can catch a couple balls against Pittsburgh and, you know, in that backfield, and they've given up the 5th most of running backs. So it could be both of these guys could have decent days.
Yeah, and, I mean, they're both ranked as if they would have decent days. They're both in the RB2 high-end flex spot, so why not, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I guess, I mean, you brought up Arian Foster. I have Arian Foster at number 39. That means Jay Ajayi is at number 22. I don't really buy Jay Ajayi being like a guy you want to start all the time, but in the week where everyone has bad matchups and you expect him to play 60%-ish of the snaps, you probably have to play him.
Yeah.
But if Foster out-touched Ajayi this week, would you be stunned?
No. Well, I don't know. Like, they didn't even really use him in that game. Again, they hardly use him. What, do you have, like, 3 carries?
Yeah, he played 11 snaps, touched the ball 4 times, did get a goal line carry.
Did get a goal line
but
carry
Ajayi
when he
was
came
just,
in.
It's almost like everyone's just like, well, I don't believe in Spencer Ware. He just got hot. Ajayi got hot.
So
they were just like, here you go.
Ajayi did get hot, and he busted that one up. So I still think Ajayi will lead that team in touches or snaps this week.
And so do I.
Yeah, but it's not somebody that I'm feeling too great about.
No, like long term, because people are asking me like, oh, should I burn my number one waiver priority on Jay Ajayi? Is he like a must-start RB2 the rest of the season? Hey, no one knows that for sure.
Yeah.
No one can accurately predict that, but I would say no.
Yeah, And it's all about context in your team. I mean, if you're sitting in a situation like I'm in this situation again, and to go back to that 14 team where I'm starting Ivory and Hill every week, like, yeah, I probably do want to spend that on Ajayi and just hope that Foster can't stay on the football field. I mean, Ajayi is a very talented back. It's just he got off on the wrong foot with Adam Gase. I mean, he was dropping balls in preseason, and he was scratched. He was inactive the very first week. He didn't even fly with the team to that road game week one. So it seems like he's starting to get back in the good books. But again, Adam Gase is so confusing because he said last week before the season he blamed everything on himself. He didn't want to just go to four or five different backs. He wanted to use one. And then we've seen Williams get a rushing touchdown at the start of the game.
I hate Damian Williams.
So
I hate him.
So he just comes in out of nowhere sometimes too. So it's going to be a tough situation to monitor and to start every week with Ajayi. So yeah, you can't trust that he's going to be an RB2 every week.
No, like right now, like I said, I have him at number 22. I think that's fair.
I think that's fair too.
But he might score 2 fantasy points.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I know that going into it.
Yeah, I would not be shocked at that at all.
Matt Jones,
what do you make about Forte?
Forte wildly outsnapped.
Yeah, big time by Powell.
No, he outsnapped Powell.
Oh, he did? Okay, yeah. I read that wrong then.
Yeah, it was like 2-1 in terms of snaps.
Okay.
Unless I read it wrong.
Well, now I'm just confused.
Yeah.
A-Rap, get it on the go.
I thought it was like 37-14 in terms of snaps.
I think Mike and I were talking about it. Did Powell outsnap Forte? It was Powell who outsnapped him.
So,
yeah, 39-21.
I thought it was the other way around.
Yeah, well, we'll have to get on that because I didn't watch much of that football game last night, to be honest with you. I watched the first half, and then that was it.
It was.
So it was?
Yeah, Bilal Powell, 39, Matt Forte, 21.
So what do you make of that? Because, I mean, Forte had that one huge week where he touched the ball like 30-plus times. I know it was a tough matchup for him, but, I mean, they don't have Decker. That offense doesn't look good. I mean, Bowles didn't blame everything on Fitzpatrick yesterday because he said he didn't have no time to throw the ball, and that is not good news for Forte. I mean, they're kind of similar backs in catching, but leading up to that game, it was Powell who had 3 straight games with 6 catches.
Yeah, Powell. So are you saying that I should have Powell over Forte?
I don't think that you should have him over Forte, but I'm a little bit concerned with Forte. I think that maybe they're a little bit closer than.
All right, what's a better spot then? So Frank Gore, Matt Forte or Frank Gore? You would go Gore?
I think I would go Gore, yeah.
Blunt or Forte?
I think I would go Blunt and I would go White over Forte.
Would you go Ajayi over Forte?
I think that's where it may stop for me. But I would go Hill over Forte.
Would you go Gio over Forte?
Yeah,
you would go,
yeah,
would
I
you
would
go,
both of them.
Would you go Crowell over Forte?
No. I think that's where it stops. That's close to me. Corral, I mean, dud weeks from him, and before that he was leading the league in yards per carry, but they've been just stuffing the box against him.
Would you go Jerick or Matt Forte?
No. I would go Matt Forte there. And then Jerick and then Ivory. Yeah, that's a good spot.
All right, so I'm gonna shove him in between Gio Bernard and Eddie Lacy in my rankings.
I mean, this isn't just not the first bad game from Forte. He really hasn't had a good one since that huge game that was against the Colts, right?
I believe it was against the Bills. On Thursday night.
It's Bills. Yeah, Bills.
I think the big thing in that is that's a game that they won.
Yeah, fair. And they just kept giving the ball and they just kept running it.
And in these games where Powell's been catching up, it's because the Jets have been playing catch up the entire game. They've been getting blown out.
Yeah, they have.
So it's a lot game script dependent. And this is against the Ravens. It's a game that should be close. I mean, I think Forte is going to get 15 touches, probably.
Yeah.
But Powell might end up with 6 catches. So would you go Powell or Ryan Matthews?
Bad matchup for it's an extremely bad matchup for everybody in Philly. So I think I would go Powell there and then
Powell or Duke Johnson, who do basically similar things.
Yeah, Duke.
Duke. So yeah. So I'll move up Powell to number 32 ahead of Sproles and in between Duke Johnson.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Okay.
Yeah, it's interesting, man. Forte, if you sold him high after that big game, I wonder what you could have got from him.
I think we talked about, like, ran through the guys. I think what we said, too. I mean, there were a slew of other guys that would have been way better than we were probably
Yeah, for sure. It's tough. You can't even gauge much against, you know, the Giants running the ball against Baltimore because they just don't have a run game at all. I mean, Bobby Rainey's the guy I'd want out of anybody in that backfield.
Terrence West, number 24.
Yeah, Terrence.
He's in that, like, Matt Jones range where he's all right.
3 straight games from him. It's tough to run on the Jets. It is tough. Like, it's easier to throw on them. But what I've seen from West, you know, the past couple games, especially with Morningwig there, they just gave him the ball a lot. I mean, remember we were talking about FSC Sunday. It was like, this guy only had 11 carries, but he flirted with 100 yards. Give him the ball a little bit more, and they did that. So I think he's going to continue to get volume, and that's what we like.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, but he's at number 24, which makes it tough for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think maybe I think I would start him over Ajayi.
Would you?
Yeah.
I just don't love the matchup.
It's tough. It's tough for both of them.
Yeah, I think you probably have an easier time running on the Bills
than you do the Jets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because Baltimore throws the ball so much for some reason.
Yeah, I know. Well, Flacco, they just want to toss the ball.
Yeah, I guess so. So West,
Mike Wallace getting a lot of targets.
So that range, that whole range from 21 to 30 is, I guess now it's Blunt, Ajayi, Hill, West, Crowell, White, Bernard, Forte, Lacy, McKinnon, Ivory. What do we do with Eddie Lacy? We don't even know if he's going to play.
I know.
That makes things tough.
It makes things really tough.
So let's talk about this backfield. Here's the breakdown. Bum ankle for Eddie Lacy. Not sure if he's going to play. If he plays, he's probably on limited snaps. They just traded for Nile Davis, who I can't imagine is going to be integrated into the offense in 2 days.
He's going to have one. Think about it. He's probably not even with the team today. When's he going to get in? That trade happened this morning? He's going to have 1 day with this team, basically. I mean, 1.5 leading up to Thursday night's game. If there's no Ivory, and this might be a situation where like Jaquiz didn't have a lot of time with Tampa Bay, though, did he?
He's been on the team though. He was in the preseason.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. But like, it could be a situation where they just run the ball a lot. But I mean, the offensive line is not great with Green Bay, and I think that's why Rodgers is struggling a lot.
No, the pass protection has been excellent. Rodgers doesn't get hassled. He's just been bad.
He has been.
Like,
really
you can't
bad.
Blame that one on the O line.
No,
they would like
last
to...
year we could I guess we give him the pass. The O line was awful last year.
But so that means who was the guy, Don Jackson, that they were going to promote from the practice squad?
Yeah.
I would say in like a 16-team league, if you don't have a running back, I'd go spec add that guy right now. He might not even play.
Yeah.
But he could end up being the starter on Thursday night all of a sudden if Lacy doesn't play. At least he knows the system.
Yeah, exactly. And Starks is out for at least 4 weeks. So, yeah, for sure. This is a tough situation, man. I don't own Eddie Lacy anywhere. I'm trying to think of like context here. I think where you have him is fair.
If he plays.
If he plays, it's fair. And if he doesn't, I mean, I don't think I'd feel comfortable starting Davis.
I would not start Davis. I think I would just try to go out and get Ty Montgomery and play him because he's going to get like 15 targets out of the backfield.
Yeah.
And that's going to be their running game.
Yeah, and that's huge. I mean, he carried the ball 3 times last week.
And he had 12 targets.
And he had a ton of targets. So, I mean, yeah, why not? He certainly needs to be on your waiver wire.
Oh, in PPR, when we get to the wide receiver rankings, you're going to see Ty Montgomery.
Oh, he's pretty high.
I would say he's super high.
Yeah.
But I'm buying into that role being what it is. And if that's going to be the case, and you start greasing out 9 catch games, then why wouldn't you?
For sure.
You'd have to be like a top 25 guy.
Absolutely. Use them in bubble screens too, like what they used to do with Randall Cobb with no Devontae Adams having the headaches, the concussions. So, yeah, for sure. It's tough, man. Lacy, like, because he's definitely like just – he probably wouldn't have played if they had anybody else. Like, if they just had – if Starks was healthy, Lacy probably wouldn't have played last week.
Agreed.
Like, if Starks was fully healthy, would have just given him the week. And they just – they can't afford to give him the week. They need him to play.
Chris Ivory at number 30. It's odd.
Yeah.
I like the matchup against Oakland, obviously, but I just never know how much running he's going to get.
I know, and we haven't. It's progressed week in and week out. It's been like 3 weeks now we've seen him on the football field. Only a few snaps week one, week two, had the bye, came back, and really didn't do all that much. He scored a touchdown, but they still didn't. I mean, that offense, it hasn't looked good.
No.
It hasn't looked
good
at all.
It should look, theoretically, it should look good this week.
It should, yeah. It's a great matchup for Bortles and Robinson and some of these guys to just get insane.
Who do you like in that game? I really hate Oakland, but I think I'm going to take Oakland.
Yeah.
They're good on the road.
Oakland is good. They have troubles inside that division. They just can't win.
KC. You were all over KC last week.
They can't beat them. They can't. Carr has troubles against even Denver. I mean, you can't. It's a struggle for Oakland against that inside that division, which may cause them a
I mean, they almost lost. They almost lost to San Diego.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it wasn't for a late score. So, yeah, I think I like Jacksonville in that game, but it's just
it's real iffy.
Yeah, it's real. It's real iffy. But I think I like Sproles maybe more. You got him over ahead of Ryan Matthews.
Yeah, I have him ahead of Ryan Matthews. I have him at I guess 33 and 34 now.
One spot ahead of him. Yeah,
but I know he's not going to get the goal line work, and Matthews probably will.
It's going to be a tough game for Philly. Yeah, the thing is, it's like the pass rush really attacked Wentz, so he'll be semi-used to what's going to happen to him this week with Minnesota, like because he got pressured and they couldn't do anything. So I don't know. Maybe some dump-offs to Sproles. Maybe they try to get him
but
a little
But they
involved.
Don't try to do that, though.
I know. They don't. They haven't. But maybe they need to because they couldn't get anything going against Washington at all.
No.
Their offense didn't look good at all.
I think we underrated how much Lane Johnson meant to that offensive line. Or maybe it's 1 week and now they've adjusted.
Right. No, you're right. He does mean a lot to that team.
Yeah.
He does.
Especially to Wentz.
Yeah, absolutely.
You still liking Wentz?
Yeah, I do. He's got these next few games are really tough for him. I know he's got like Seattle after this, Green Bay, Arizona, I believe. So it's like there's some tough games for him coming up. So I think he's going to have like a little bit of a tough stretch. But I think it gets weaker down the stretch. But, I mean, you probably don't feel comfortable starting him in, like, a playoff matchup or leading into playoffs.
Yeah, you just want to pick up Jameis. Play him.
Oh, absolutely. Jameis, I mean, picked him out a couple weeks ago, and his schedule is wicked.
Yeah, he has like, three bad matchups sandwiched in between the Saints twice.
Yeah, these couple are coming up that are nice.
He has four in a row that are really nice. Then he has, like, Seattle.
I believe Denver, maybe.
Denver. No, yeah. There he played Denver.
Yeah.
Seattle, someone else, and then like in weeks 14, 15, 16, Saints twice. Perfect.
Yeah, it's awesome. For a guy who throws the ball a ton.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, they just throw the ball all the time.
So the 31 range right now, we're going to have, so I mentioned, Duke Johnson, Bilal Powell, Darren Sproles, Ryan Matthews, Chris Thompson, Bobby Rainey, Matt Asiata, Latavius Murray, Arian Foster, Dwayne Washington. I don't want to start any of these guys now.
No.
Now I'm into the range where I just don't care anymore.
No. Yeah, you're right. People should probably add Niall Davis, though. But I wouldn't use a waiver claim. I think I would just try and wait it out.
Yeah,
3 in the morning.
I have him at number 46 here. Like, I would feel very uncomfortable playing
him. Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't want to start him. But if anything, if this turns into a more significant injury for Lacey, maybe he turns out to be something. Somebody that you can play in a flex spot if you're in a tough, tough spot. But, yeah, this week, I don't expect too much from him. And even I don't expect too much from Lacey.
No, but most of these guys right now in this range, like, they're PPR guys. They're going to get their 3-4 catches, move on their way. Yeah. But the Oakland situation still really confuses me. Like, I don't want to play any of these guys.
No, I don't feel comfortable playing any of them, even Latavius Murray. Like, absolutely not. Like, even when he was healthy. I mean, he found the end zone a couple times, but the carries were pretty split between him and Washington and Richard.
The Rocket Richard?
Yeah.
Anyone else you want to mention here? I will say I would go pick up Mike Gillisley.
Yeah. Derek Van Riper from RotoWire, where we talked waiver wire, just like some deeper waiver wires. And, you know, you and I talked about that, you know, with Booker and Henry, some of these great handcuffs. I mean, D. Will, people should still hang on to these guys. But then, you know, start to dig a little bit deeper. Gillisley could be that guy. I mean, if anything happens to McCoy, I mean, he went down yesterday with a knee injury. It just, like, looked like on Sunday he was a little hurt. If anything happens,
all they do is run.
They run the ball, and they run it well. So
I would still rather have Alfred Morris as a handcuff.
Me too.
But Gillisley is, like, close to the top of that list.
Yeah, I agree with you. Me too.
Any idea what happens in the Detroit backfield?
Zach Center got a little bit more touches, but they just can't run the ball. I mean, this is not new. I mean, Detroit hasn't ran the ball for years. They haven't been able to. It's Stafford. He just throws it all the time. I mean, I don't know. I haven't heard anything about Riddick.
Yeah, I have Riddick listed as doubtful
for
this week. Like, I don't have him in the rankings. If he's in the rankings, I would have him up inside, like, probably the top 20, because I know he's going to get 7 catches.
And this is a good matchup against Washington. You think that they're going to be able to run the ball, even though Philly wasn't able to run the ball. I mean, a couple times from Matthews, he looked okay, but other than that, it was it. So I think maybe we could see, this could be the week where we see if maybe Zenner or Washington plays, that they have anything to them.
If you had to start one between Washington, Zenner, and Forsett this week, you had to play one, I would play Dwayne Washington if he's active. If not, I play Zach Zenner.
Yeah, I think that Washington is the better back. He's the better of all the three, and he's got the most upside. But how healthy is he? And he's missed a couple, like, two or three games in a row now.
Yeah.
So, like, even if he plays, probably won't get a couple. I think it might be Zach. But, like, long term, it's Washington. I think Zach was got on the football field a little bit more carries. Just maybe, like, he's that guy who can run between the tackles, and they want Forsett to be that Riddick guy. But, I mean, he didn't do anything.
Yeah, it almost speaks to the Niall Davis situation, too. I kind of overestimated how quickly Justin Forsett would live up to the playbook and really be able to understand and get on the field. That was just clearly not the case.
And that's why, yeah, you make a good point that Davis is just not going to be able to really, probably won't be able to do anything on Thursday.
We've all taken some jobs to earn extra cash in our day. Back in the day, my first job, I was like 13, and I worked at like the local swimming pool. My uncle ran the convenient shack that was there, and he paid me like $3 an hour. Well, he reaped in all the rewards. That was terrible. I was not earning a ton of extra cash that way. I mean, as a 13-year-old, I was. But, you know, today that would be, you know, not very positive for my bank account. So I've got a better way to earn some extra money on the side, because it's so much easier thanks to Uber. Uber is the ultimate side hustle. Driving with Uber is a new way you can earn extra cash whenever you want. It's not just another job. It's a totally flexible way to earn, and you can turn it on and off just like you do your car. And if you have a few spare hours here and there, drive with Uber. Have you ever wanted to be your own boss? Well, I bet you'd make a great boss. Drive with Uber, and you are your own boss. If you're driving right now listening to this, you should be earning right now. I'd do it if I owned a car, which I don't. I use Uber. Every day is a payday when you drive with Uber because you can cash out anytime with Instant Pay. With access to Instant Pay, cash out your earnings up to 5 times a day with no minimum amount required. Listen, if you enjoy earning extra cash, if there's something special you'd like to buy, your car can start making you money. So go ahead and get your side hustle on. Sign up to drive with Uber today. Go to uber.com/drive now. That's uber.com/drive now. uber.com/drive now. Back to the show. Let's switch to wide receivers. AJ Green, number one, going up against the
Cleveland Browns.
That's it. Yeah, they're terrible. You want to start AJ Green.
Yeah.
Julio Jones, Mike Evans, Odell Beckham Jr., Brandon Marshall, T.Y. Hilton, Antonio Brown, Allen Robinson, Amari Cooper, Jordy Nelson. That's the top 10. Then we're into Jarvis Landry, Terrell Pryor, who is dealing with a hamstring problem, so keep an eye on that. Marv Jones, Cameron Meredith, at number 14, Alshon Jeffrey at 15, Terrell Williams at 16, Jeremy Maclin at 17, Michael Crabtree, Emmanuel Sanders, and DeSean Jackson round out the top 20. There are some weird names in there.
Yeah, did you ever think like you'd be ranking a bear ahead of Jeffrey that wasn't named Kevin White?
No, but I feel stupid for not having done it last week.
Yeah.
Like, you can only not react to something that's happening for so long.
Yeah, exactly. And watching the game film from him that against the Colts, he looked great, and he looked great again. I mean,
he's getting all the targets,
15, tied for most last week. So, with Hopkins, yeah, I mean, this is fair. You have to rank him ahead of Jeffrey. You just have to.
Bears news, Kevin White expected to return at possibly week 13, as a heads up. So,
interesting. I think they just would probably continue to ride with
I would think so, too, but I think it depends on where they are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
They might just be like, all right, Jeffrey, you can take a seat.
Yeah.
That could happen.
Doesn't this guy need a new contract?
Yeah, he's franchised right now. He's free agent at the end of the year.
I wonder if they just part ways with him.
They might. I mean, they got rid of Brandon Marshall for no good reason. Why not just get Alshon Jeffrey, too?
They're not using him properly.
He has great
first halves, and then he's invisible in the second half. He doesn't even get any catches. I don't understand it. Why it's worked. I mean, it was like that game against Philly. He had like 3 catches for almost 100 yards, and he had 1 target in the second half in a game that was close. It made no sense to me. I don't understand what's going on with Jeffrey. He's not a Bear next year.
No.
I don't even know if he wants back. He can get money on the open market from almost any team.
I'd pay him. He's really good.
Absolutely.
Although you have to deal with his constant hamstring problems.
You do have to deal with that. He's got this soft tissue muscle, and I won't draft him.
I will. I draft him every year.
Well,
so
this is the thing. Like,
him.
I didn't want to draft him this year because he went too high, but next year, I mean, if he's outside the top 20 wide receivers, then sign me up. Like,
yeah.
I'll do that.
But it was almost like the Dez thing. I thought the same thing would happen to Dez coming into the season, where like, oh, no one probably wants Dez anymore, and then you just end up going inside the top round.
Somebody said to me this morning they got a trade offer. It was Matt. They got offered Matt Ryan for Stafford and Jeffrey. It's like, that's...
I'd take Stafford and Jeffrey. Stafford's
like,
been really good.
I was like, well, that's why I said, let's just keep Stafford and Jeffrey. Like, Stafford's been pretty good. Like, he's right behind Matt Ryan.
The one thing you don't want to do ever is buy high on quarterback.
A quarterback. Yeah, exactly.
You just don't.
Because you can just pick up Winston off the waiver wire.
Yeah.
I mean, why not? Plug him in.
Or trade for Winston right now. It's not going to cost
Andy
you.
Dalton off the waiver wire this week.
Or just keep Stafford.
Or just keep Stafford. Just keep playing him. He throws the ball like 40 times a game.
Yeah, and he throws touchdowns.
Yeah, and that's why I like Marvin Jones still. You still got him in there against Washington, even though you might see a little Norman on him. I still think he's a consistent wideout. Even though he didn't get the targets last week and it was Tate, he still scored touchdowns.
Still scored touchdowns. He's been producing every single week. Golden Tate, for reference, I have at number 34. That could be too low, but, you know, it's 1 week.
Yeah, it's only 1 week.
It's 1 week. Let's pump the brakes a little bit. It'd be really nice for a lot of my teams if Golden Tate was back. I'm not going to lie to you. I have Golden Tate in a lot
of
spots.
Yeah, same. I didn't cut him.
I benched him last week, which sucked.
Yeah, I played him last week because I had to. I was in a pinch, but I haven't been playing him. But I haven't been cutting him either. I mean, it's just a mistake to cut him. It's just a guy who's going to turn it around. This is a good football player. I think where you have him is fair, but I would have him over like Jordan Matthews.
How come?
Just because I don't think Philly's going to be able to do anything, man. Like, nobody has been able to do anything against Minnesota. Like, nobody. So what makes me, like, I just can't see a rookie quarterback. Yes, he has looked good. But I'm telling you, that pressure against him last week, he was only 11 for 22. I think, and Minnesota coming off a bye, this is not good news for Philadelphia. I don't
Sam
think
Bradford,
be able
revenge
to
game.
Sam Bradford. And to Philly's point, I mean, I mean, wide receivers are like 29th in fantasy against them.
Yeah.
Like, they're not
all right.
scoring.
So let's re-rank Jordan Matthews then. I have Jordan Matthews at number 33. Would you rather play Golden Tate over Jordan Matthews?
Yeah.
Would you rather play Tavon Austin? I like Tavon. I got sucked into the DFS Tavon Austin trap last week. But I do like him against the Giants. The Giants struggle with those little dudes.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, in the slot. Yeah, they can't cover anybody. So yeah, I would. I'd rather Austin.
A banged up Will Fuller or Jordan Matthews?
Jordan Matthews there.
Devontae Parker or Jordan Matthews?
Jordan Matthews there. Where you have him is fair. I think it was just a couple guys like Tate and Austin.
All right, I'll move him down. I'll move him down to number 30, 35.
Yeah,
I think that makes some sense.
Yeah. Maybe Benjamin, though.
Travis Benjamin? Yeah. He's just not playing. He's just not getting snaps.
No?
They're playing these two tight end sets with Henry and Gates.
Oh, I know.
And he's off the field.
Yeah, I would start Henry over Gates.
I would start Henry over Gates, too, but I think people are going a bit nuts over Hunter Henry.
Like, yeah.
I released my tight end rankings last night, and Hunter Henry, he's at number 11, but he wasn't on, like, the primary list. And people were like, oh, but he's the best tight end ever. How dare you?
He's
a tight end ranked as a tight end one, but, if you want to put all your faith into Hunter Henry, who's sharing tight end looks with another guy who's probably a Hall of Famer and Phillip Rivers loves to throw to.
You have to temper back. Yeah. It was a great matchup against Denver.
It's a great matchup against Atlanta, too.
You know what I mean? Like, what I mean by saying it was great is it was tough for everybody else in that offense, and they just really could only go to Hunter Henry.
I feel like Tyrell Williams is the guy in San Diego is kind of the key.
Yeah, he's the guy who gets the volume. I mean, Benjamin gets that, that boost, that big playability, but I think it's Tyrell Williams who's getting the majority of the looks.
Yeah, he has 8 red zone targets so far this season. He hasn't converted 9 red zone targets. Hasn't converted a red zone into a touchdown yet.
That's just one off the lead, too. This is like a 3 guys who have 10.
Yeah, I think it depends on where you look. Some guys are listed as 12, some guys are listed as 10, but he has 9 right now. I have him ranked at number 16. I don't have the utmost faith in him, but I'd be willing to gamble on his upside against Atlanta, who just gives up points to receivers.
Yeah, absolutely. No, this is a great matchup. I like him a lot this week. I think he's a top 20 guy.
Yep. So I guess the big name that we need to talk about, what do you do with Antonio Brown with Landry Jones at quarterback? So we went back and looked at this. You have the numbers for the entire time that Roethlisberger was out, right?
Yeah.
And that includes Michael Vick.
Includes Michael Vick. It was 4 games, and the targets were 10 per game with Ben, and it was 5 per game with Jones or Vick.
And
the yards were like 100 to 50, and the catches were like 8 to 4 or something.
So I went and looked at the Landry Jones. He started against the Chiefs, and he came in and played against the Cardinals after Michael Vick got relieved. Now, in both those games, Brown saw 8 targets. When he ended up against the Cardinals, it was 3 catches for 24 yards. In the game against the Chiefs, he had 6 catches for 124 yards. So, I don't think it's the worst idea. I'm not benching Antonio
Brown. No, you shouldn't.
And that's really what it comes down to. Like, how stupid would you feel?
You just quit.
I guess you
have the thing is because you spend your first pick on him probably.
So here's the deal. What would make you feel worse? That you played Antonio Brown and he ends up with like 5 points and you left, I don't know, Sterling Shepard on your bench and he scores 20 points. Yeah. Or you do it the other way around. You play Sterling Shepard, he scores 3 points and Antonio Brown scores 35 on your bench. I feel like the second scenario would make me feel a lot worse.
Yeah, I'd be pissed. I'd be extremely upset about it. We got in this
situation. Not to pick on Sterling Shepard.
Yeah, exactly. We got in this situation last week with Julio Jones and then Snead.
And
Julio Jones was fine. So, I mean, you have to play your studs. It's at the end of the day, you have to play them and you have to be in an 8 or a 10-man league to not be playing Antonio Brown. I remember last year I was in one of those leagues, a 10-man keeper league, where I had 4 awesome receivers and I could only play 2 and a flex, and I sat Brown 1 week because it wasn't Ben.
That is such an outlier situation.
It is. And what happened was I got burned because it was probably that game against KC where he had a good game, and I was like, damn, I'm an idiot. Why would I do that? So don't sit Antonio Brown. He's still going to be a vocal point of that offense. I mean, at least we've seen Jones play before. Not great, but this isn't going to be his first NFL start. He's been in this situation without Ben before. He knows the offense. He knows the playbook. He knows he has Bell. He knows he has Brown.
He threw 2 deep touchdowns to Martavis Bryant last year.
Yeah.
Do you think that worked out well for Sammy Coates?
It could. It could, depending on his hand. I mean,
that was the thing. They had 4 targets, no catches.
4 targets, no catches. I mean, the 2 times they went deep to him twice, but Ben just overthrew one and underthrew another. So
I
don't think I would trust Coates this week, though.
I personally don't. I have him ranked at number 61.
Yeah, I don't trust him either. not this week. Not without Ben.
That might be too low, but that's me sort of taking a stance as I don't want to play this guy until I see him right.
Exactly, yeah. No, 100% agree with you
there. Where someone like Will Fuller, I mean, he was active but played no snaps, which kind of screwed everyone over.
Oh, yeah.
But he's someone I want to monitor during the week. If it looks like he's practicing in full, I might move him up.
Yeah.
Although he is playing Denver, so I probably won't move him up too much. Yeah, but I think that he has the certain skill set that can beat Denver if he's right.
Yeah, because he's extremely speedy. And Brock is not afraid to throw it up to him. And you got to think Lamar Miller. You got to think that Denver's game plan is just be like, listen, like, you got Lamar Miller.
I feel like Brock is going to get sacked 8,000 times in this game. But it depends on how the game flow goes. If they're not forced to pass, then they might not be so bad.
He may die. He's pathetic.
Yeah.
He is so bad.
He looked pretty good in the final 3 minutes of the game. What a hero!
But that's on the Colts. Like, how bad are the Colts? Again, like, to blow that football game with 3 minutes left. I mean, you're up by 2 scores.
Here are some injuries that we're dealing with here. Terrell Pryor has a hamstring injury.
And he's had them before in the past.
Yeah. And he looked a bit gimpy towards the end of the Browns game against Tennessee last week. But he stuck out there.
Yeah.
Probably not for probably the wisest move in the world, because you're the Browns and who cares?
Yeah.
And why hurt your best player? But we'll see how he's someone to keep an eye on. Will Fuller, obviously, the ankle with Steve Smith. I have all these guys listed as in the rankings right now, but that could easily shuffle around. Stephon Diggs still has a groin injury.
Yeah, and he hasn't practiced yet, I don't think.
No, but it's only Tuesday.
It's only Tuesday, but even still, like, I know they were coming off a bye, but they didn't put him on the football field. They took him away from it. There was no practicing. I don't like this matchup.
Did I not rank Diggs? Oh, there he is. Diggs.
I don't like... Yeah, you got him at 25.
25.
I don't love... If he's healthy, he could have a big game, like in the slot and stuff. But Philly's been pretty good against quarterbacks and wide receivers this year, surprisingly. So I think it could be like a Rudolph. I think Bradford struggles too. I think that this is just like a...
Low-scoring game.
Low-scoring game.
Maybe
and Minnesota just
score.
Continues to do their thing and gets it done. Like, they've been getting it done with special teams. Just somebody to keep an eye on. Is Cordell Patterson, man. I'm serious.
Cordarrelle?
Yeah, somebody just to keep an eye on. I know that a lot of what's happened over the past couple games is because there's been no Diggs, but, I mean, they don't have a lot of other options in that
offense. I would use Thielen.
Thielen.
Is that even his name?
Yeah.
Check your Thielen levels. Go to the Scientology clinic. You'll be good to go.
So he's had two productive games in a row now with Minnesota, but Patterson's snaps are getting...
up and up and up?
Up and up and up. They're using him. I noticed a deep threat. He was a deep threat, a red zone target. He's a big body. He's pretty good, man. But the knock on him, I think the slow start is, I think he only played like 1 year of college. Like, I think he only started playing football like a couple years before college. Like, he's pretty raw. So just to get in the swing of things, I know he's used a lot in the return game, but I think we may see him in a couple weeks, like maybe 4 or 5 weeks, be something, especially if Diggs comes back. I like him more than Thielen, maybe not this week, but maybe like long term.
Okay,
I think
so
this is somebody to keep an eye on.
If there's no, so I'm probably going to have to move Diggs down. I have him at 25. Would you play Diggs or Demaryius? Bad matchup in Houston, by the way.
Yeah, it is a bad matchup. I mean,
unless
if I see Diggs on the football field Wednesday, Thursday practicing in full, I would play Diggs.
Okay, I'll keep the rankings how they are for right now, but let's say Diggs doesn't play.
Yeah. If he doesn't,
where do I move Thielen to? How much are you feeling Thielen?
Again, it's not a fantastic matchup. I think Rudolph is the guy there this week.
Like, would you play like Mike Wallace or Thielen, knowing he was the number one?
No, I would play Wallace still. Wallace is still like top 20 in targets. He's still Flacco's boy.
Would you play Chris Hogan or Thielen?
I would play Hogan still.
Dorsett or Thielen? That could be the spot.
That could be the spot
between
yeah,
Eddie Royal
right around Kenny Britt.
Eddie Royal or
Eddie
Thielen?
Royal. Yeah, I would go. This is not a bad matchup though for Chicago, right? But even still, I think I would go Thielen there. I think there's something there. So if Diggs doesn't play, I think there's something there for Thielen. He's been heavily targeted in those two games.
Yeah,
he could be like a Meredith, but not as good. I don't think he's as good because I've watched the tape and Meredith is actually pretty good, man. His hands are great. He runs great routes. He's a big body.
And they look for him. And
they look
for Thielen too.
Yeah,
so yeah, he would move up to number 53. I could even move him up even higher than that. Like, if you really didn't want to play, I don't know, Brian Quick, who I have ranked a bit above.
Yeah.
Like, go ahead and play Thielen. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Go ahead and play Thielen. You can play him over Quick. You can play him over Lee if you wanted to.
If you got a Thielen.
Yeah.
Chuck in Adam Thielen.
I like that a lot. And I do still like Chris Hogan.
So do I, but
I still think
it all depends
on the
game.
Deep shot there.
So where are we at here? Did anyone else inside like the top 20? We talked about Williams, Macklin. I mean, these are all like your standard guys.
Yeah, they're all
Pryor. We touched on with the injury. Like, who would be the guy to benefit the most if there was no Pryor? Would it be Barnage, Andrew Hawkins?
I think Andrew Hawkins, but I think it's Barnage. I mean, this is a great matchup, too, of tight ends. I mean, I think it's Barnage in that matchup. Because really, there's just nobody else. I mean, too bad Coleman looked really good for that for the couple games, and then he got hurt. So, yeah, since he hasn't been great against the tight ends.
Oh, pick up Moncrief, by the way, if you're listening.
Oh,
he's
yeah,
available.
Yeah.
Go pick him up.
Yeah, people are dropping him.
Yeah.
And he's close.
He's 2 weeks away, I think?
Yeah, I think a couple weeks. So go pick up Moncrief for sure. I heard you talking with Jake about that on Monday.
The 21 to 30 range, we have Edelman at 21. Just it hasn't been there with him so far.
Telling you, man, it's just a lot of guys.
Yeah,
there's just a lot of guys there. I'm a little bit concerned.
Edelman, Fitzgerald in a bad matchup at 22. Doug Baldwin in a bad matchup at 23. Brandon Cooks 24. Diggs 25. DeAndre Hopkins in a bad matchup at 26. Ty Montgomery, I could move him up even higher. I tried to like temper my expectations for Ty Montgomery here. He's 27. Snead 28. Michael Thomas 29. And Randall Cobb number 30.
I think it's fair where you have Ty though.
Do you want to talk Ty or do you want to talk Saints receivers first?
Let's go Saints receivers.
Okay, so I have them all inside this 20 to 30 range because Brandon Cooks is kind of terrible outside.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
And that might be one of the biggest reasons why the drop-off in Breeze numbers go down so much from road to home because outside, Brandon Cooks just doesn't seem to have the same sort of speed.
No, I know he doesn't. I think, like, last week was great for him because Carolina's, I mean, they're just getting burned over the top all year long. So we saw the speed there, but Kansas City, man, at home, they're good, and the defense is tough. I think Breeze is going to struggle this week, and I don't know. I think Cooks is the only guy.
Who's the one who gets shut down? Because one of them is getting shut down.
And I don't think it's Cooks because you can kind of run a lot of screens with him. You can kind of like run through the slot with him sometimes.
Same as Snead, too. They kind of all move around.
They all do really move around. I think maybe Thomas might be the guy who gets shut down. I mean, he's still pretty productive. I know he scored a touchdown last week, and leading up to before the last week, he had the most catches on that team. It's all spread around pretty evenly. Breeze does a good job of that. But I think, I don't know if you'll see, like, those big touchdowns this week in Kansas City. Like, Marcus Peters is pretty good. He's a pretty shutdown corner, and he does
it
a pretty good job.
It just depends on who he ends up covering, and we might not know. He might rotate between guys.
He may rotate between guys, and you know what? I feel like the Saints are going to want to move Cooks around the football field a lot and try to get him the ball, so I feel comfortable with Cooks, and I think like maybe Snead and Thomas are the guys who just kind of don't do much.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, if you got them, you probably start them.
Yeah.
Is the problem.
Yeah, and you do. You probably start them. I mean, Thomas, for whatever reason, he was hanging around the waiver wire the past couple weeks.
He's still available in over 60% of leagues, so
yeah. There
you go. Ty Montgomery, number 27. Remember, this is PPR.
Yeah, it's huge.
I like Ty Montgomery. I mean, I've already kind of spelled out my case for him, but I think he could just be in PPR leagues, he could be a really safe, I don't want to say 15 points, but 12 points.
Yeah, double digit. Yeah. Double digit points is certainly
that's
doable.
Good.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good. Especially like what are you looking for here? A buy-in, a flex? Like, yeah, you can get away with that double. He showed spurts last year at times when, you know, there were some injuries. But just having everybody intact with a wide receiver core, having Jordy there, that helps a guy like Ty. Like, if there's no Jordy,
it helps that he's playing running back is the big thing.
Too. Like, he's going to carry a few balls into the backfield, so he's going to get some bubble screens. So, yeah, where you have him is fair. I expect him to get at least, you know, 8 targets.
Yeah. And if that's
and
the case,
a couple carries.
Yeah, and there you go. Just give him increased opportunity, and still, people are still going to be paying attention to Jordy. People are going to be paying attention to Cobb. Devontae Adams probably isn't going to play with a concussion.
No, I don't think so.
So Montgomery would be on the field anyway, more than likely. I mean, do you think Jeff Janis ever gets involved? Or is he just a guy that fantasy people like?
Yeah, he just I don't know what it is. Maybe that playoff touchdown he scored, that game-winning one, or the one before to tie it up. So, yeah, I don't think so. Jeff Janis, he would need a Cobb injury or a Jordy injury. And even so, like, Jordy was injured last year, and he didn't do much, Janis.
Robert Woods, I have at 39. I feel like Robert Woods, we kind of talk about him every week. He's just safe points, but...
You know who else is, like, starting to uptick in that offense? Hunter Henry. Or not Hunter
Justin,
Henry. Justin Hunter, yes. So.
Yeah, he's up to playing, like, 50% of the snaps.
I don't know what it means.
He has a touchdown 2 straight weeks.
And this is a team that runs the ball all the time, but he is starting to get on the football field a little bit more, getting more snaps. It's just something to monitor. I don't think he's a must-add. It's something to keep an eye on, but this is a team that likes to run the ball.
Yeah. So, guys in decent matchups that I kind of found, if there's no Jordan Reed, I might even move Pierre Garçon up a little bit. Garion mentioned this on the Sunday show.
Yeah, he was dead on.
And he was right. Now, obviously, Garcon didn't score, but he ended up with a lot of targets. That he's just a big body. He's the only big body they have outside of Vernon Davis right now.
Yeah, and, you know, now we talked about FST as a pickup. You mean 14% ownership in Yahoo. I mean, even lower, I think, in NFL.com leagues.
No,
because
everyone is not owned in NFL.com.
Besides Jay Jai, he's like 80% owned. I was shocked. He's 80 and Meredith is 10. And it's like, whoa, wow. That's like, you feel like it'd be almost the opposite. I know it was only 1 week, but now it's been 2 weeks for Meredith. I know we always joke about that, but I found that funny, Ajayi. But yeah, so second in the team in catches, targets, yards, and Reed is ahead of them in all of them. So, I mean, the only thing with Crowder is more owned, but he gets the touchdowns, he gets the red zone looks, but where Garcon only has the one touchdown, he's the guy that gets, Guerin was dead on with that. He's getting targets, he's getting catches in the slot.
And Detroit is soft against tight ends. I know that he's not a tight end, but if they start running those routes with him, then yeah. I mean, it's against Detroit.
Yeah, Garcon's,
play people against Detroit.
Yeah, Garcon's reliable, and Cousins likes him. That will be Cousins' number. That'll be his number one target with no Reed.
Okay, so here are three guys in a row that I kind of like just because of the matchup. I like Hearns against Oakland. Mm-hmm. I like Mohamed Sanu against San Diego. Sanu's doing stuff every week.
Yeah, he is. He is. We talked about last week who could be a potential Sanu week.
I didn't expect it to be a Julio week like it was. And Brian Quick against the Giants. Brian Quick just keeps showing up. I like Brian Quick more than I like Kenny Britt.
Yeah, he's speedy. They're both kind of speedy.
I don't even know how speedy Brian Quick is. I just assume he's speedy because his last name's Quick.
And I think that's why I said that. No, but like I've noticed from him in the past couple of years is sometimes I know it was more so with Nick Foles. Nick Foles was throwing deep to him a couple times, and I know last year he had like a 3 or 4 game stretch.
I think he's just their best actual receiver. Like, Britt can get downfield. Britt can make big plays. Tavon Austin he too is quick,
yeah,
but he just kind of runs around the line of scrimmage and gets everything after the catch. When we talk about actual receivers, running routes, making actual catches in situations, Brian Quick, to me, appears to be the best one.
Yeah, I like Britt.
He's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't love him. He's okay, but I like what he's doing. I mean, at least four catches in every game, at least 47 yards, and he's been getting...
I move up Kenny Britt then? Should I switch these guys up?
I would switch them.
I'm going to roll the dice
on
Brian.
Yeah, you're feeling quick.
I'm feeling Brian Quick here. I feel like this could be a Brian Quick week. I have a long-standing love of Brian Quick, so that's what I'm going to stay with.
And, you know, Giants have been getting burned. They have been getting burned against wide receivers. So, I mean, Case Keenum, too. Keenum was all right last week.
Against Detroit, man.
Against Detroit. Like, that's something to keep in mind is the Lions they struggle.
Anyone else on this list you want to talk about?
Bolden had a touchdown.
Bolden's been all right, but...
Yeah, he's been all right. He's been actually better than Tate until last week. He's been getting looks. And they just throw the ball a ton, right?
LaFell, I think, is startable again just against the Browns.
Yeah.
But But it seemed like they were starting to use Boyd a little bit more last week.
Yeah, because Cincinnati had a couple really tough matchups in a row where Boyd was used before that, and then he just was invisible those couple weeks where it just wasn't good matchups for him. So I think maybe we will start to see Boyd, but I like LaFell over him. Lockett isn't doing anything. Floyd finally caught a touchdown. Coach is in a bad matchup.
Quentin Patton, I think, is better than Kaepernick. Likes him more than he likes Jeremy Curley. I would start Patton over Curley if I had to. Really hope I wouldn't have to.
I agree.
But Torrey Smith is probably still the better start.
Yeah.
Just because it takes one play for him to score everything.
Yeah, like we saw last week.
But Patton might end up with like 8-9 targets.
Yeah, and Kaepernick does like him more. I saw in the preseason. I actually saw it the year before as well. With Patton. They have a little thing going on.
Ooh, a little thing.
Little thing.
Little flang.
Oh, keep in mind.
All right, tight ends. This one was kind of tough because I put Gronk in at number one, and with Greg Olsen on bye and Jordan Reed probably not playing, those are the three guys. Like, what do I do? Who do I put it to?
Yeah.
So I put Jimmy Graham at two.
Yeah.
I put Travis Kelce at number three, Pitta at four, Delaney, Zach Miller, Rudolph, Julius Thomas, Martellus Bennett, Jack Doyle with no Dwayne Allen around. Then I go Gary Barnage, Hunter Henry, Cameron Brate, Vernon Davis, Jacob Tammy, Charles Clay, who's banged up as well, may or may not play, Kobe Fleener, Zach Ertz, CJ Uzama, and Lance Kendricks. Like, bad, man. Tight ends.
Oh, yeah. It's
6 through 23 are like the same guy.
I know. We talked about CJ with Houston. We talked about
CJ Fedorowicz.
We talked about how you and I were going to play him anyways, even though that Griffin was going to play, and he was fine.
He scored a touchdown.
And I think we can take a little bit away from Hunter Henry in that matchup against Denver is that maybe they just take away the wide receivers and maybe they just kind of throw to him a little bit.
The only thing that I would say to counter that is it's a bit different when you're going up against Denver and they're taking away your receivers and Phillip Rivers is your quarterback and he can actually make a throw. And then you have Brock on the other side being like,
Man, if I was a Texans fan, I'd be livid. but
they're 4-2. He's a he's a winner.
Yeah, they just beat garbage teams. Whatever. But yeah.
So at the top, I mean, Graham looks like Graham again, man.
Yeah, I know. Another great week from him. He didn't top 100, but the targets were there, the catches were there. I think he caught 6 balls, and
yeah, for like 87 yards.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, Graham is there, man. He's back.
What happened to Delanie Walker?
I don't know.
He had one catch.
I know. I don't.
Did Kendall Wright burn
Kendall
him?
Wright.
We didn't even talk about Kendall Wright. I had Kendall Wright. Where did I have him at the receivers?
I noticed where you had him.
I had him at 32.
Yeah, in the 30s.
I'd play him.
Yeah, I would play him too. Yeah, where you have him is fair.
But against the Colts, I think you have to go back to Walker if you have him.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't start playing, like, Zach Ertz over him.
No.
Zach Ertz doesn't even get the ball anymore.
I know, he just doesn't. And now, this is going to be tough. Like I said, another tough matchup for Ertz.
Is this going to be one of the, again, in the Zach Ertz season where he's going to be unstartable every week but two, but in those 2 weeks he's going to have like 18 catches a week?
Yeah, it might be. It's too bad. That injury really took him back because he was starting to get a lot of volume, a lot of targets, but that injury really set him back a bit, and now another tough matchup. I think I like him more than anybody else in that offense, though, this week. Because it's just like, it's just short throws, quick throws to get the ball out. That's what they're going to have to do
but
against Minnesota.
He might just, like, even with, like, they might put Brent Celek on the field and Burton Moore just to block.
Just to block, yeah. Celek is going to get a lot of play this week. I don't expect, you shouldn't start him, but he's there to block.
Dennis Pitta, I have at 4. Zach Miller at 6. I mean, he had 10 targets last week, so did Pitta.
Miller's awesome, man. He just continues to get touchdowns, too.
Yeah, but last week was weird. He had 10 targets. He had, like, 35 yards. Same as Pitta.
Yeah.
But that's what you're playing with here. At least give me the volume and the opportunity if you're going to have any.
Yeah.
So that's why those guys are up there. Julius Thomas plays Oakland. That's a decent matchup. Martellus Bennett, turns out he's not going to score 3 touchdowns a week like everyone thought.
No. He's still involved, though.
Yeah,
still top 10, yeah.
He's top 10. Jack Doyle is one that I would pick up and play.
Yeah, Jack Doyle for sure. Dwayne Allen has a history of ankle injuries.
And he's not going to play this week.
No, he's not going to play.
Watch him play.
No, I don't think he will. I mean, last year he basically sat out the whole year, and this has been an issue for the Colts over like the past 2 or 3 years, even when they had Fleener. It's like, they go to these 2 tight end sets, and one of them can't stay in the football field. One can't overpower the other one. Doyle is a big body. He's a big guy. He's getting targeted. He had a touchdown last week. He had touchdowns the first couple weeks of the season. So, yeah, I would play him, and I would start him if you were in a pinch like Reed. I would start him over Jesse James. You have him overranked. But last week we were talking about Jesse James as a potential guy to fill in and play.
Yeah.
I think you can go with Jack Doyle.
So with Jack Doyle, I know it doesn't really work in the same sense that you take Jack Doyle's numbers and Dwayne Allen's numbers and put them together, and that's what Jack Doyle gets, because that's just not going to be the case.
Yeah.
They have some other dude whose name I looked up the other day on the show and now completely forget again. But he'll be on the field, number 86.
Yeah, okay.
He's out there.
And Dorsett's hurt, too. He's banged up.
Is he?
I think he's fine, but he wobbled off a little bit.
He just might not be good.
He's just fragile, man.
He's just like T.Y.
Yeah, exactly like T.Y.
So you have Doyle out there. Doyle, of tight ends that have played 50% of the snaps so far this season, he has an 87% catch rate that's tied for second best. He has 3 red zone targets. Allen has 4. You put those together, that would be second most of any tight end. Combined, they have 50 targets. If that was any other tight end, that would be second. So I do think there is ample opportunity for Jack Doyle here. Clearly, like you said, Andrew Luck does have a rapport with him. So
he's the only big body they have.
Yeah.
He's the only guy that they have to throw to in the red zone. I mean, you're not going to throw to T.Y. in the red zone.
No, that's why Moncrief was so valuable.
Exactly.
He's a big body.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I can definitely get behind Jack Doyle. He's a nice ad for people. Because you're right, Pat. I mean, after 6, I mean, I do like Rudolph this week. But after that, it's just a whole lot of mediocre. You're just really banking on a touchdown. That's what you hope.
Yeah, and I mean, that's why Hunter Henry remains at number 12. It's not that I dislike Henry. I just think that Gates will take away enough from him that it leaves him with limited upside.
Yeah, for sure.
And maybe he does catch another touchdown this week. I have him at number 12.
Yeah, that's
entirely in the cards.
That's a tight end one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if there was no Gates, I'm sure you'd have him up a little bit more, but there is Gates. And this seems like a matchup where Rivers can throw to
a bunch of
other people, more people besides just Hunter Henry.
Vernon Davis, number 14. Now, this is, of course, assuming there is no Jordan Reed, but if you don't get Jack Doyle, just pick up Vernon Davis and play him against the Lions.
Yeah, for sure. The Lions have struggled against tight ends.
Yeah.
Yeah, big time, I believe.
7 tight ends to the position, most of anyone in football.
Most
teams won't give up that many touchdowns all season to tight ends.
Yeah, you're right. And it was like 5 after the first 4 weeks. It was like 5 touchdowns. So, yeah, Vernon Davis, he's still got it.
Hey, Vern!
He's still fine. I mean, he looked pretty athletic last week.
The biggest thing was he played all but 2 snaps in the Washington offense last week, and there was kind of like, oh, do I play Vernon Davis? Oh, do I play Niles Paul? Yeah. Niles Paul had 0 targets.
Yeah.
Vernon only had 4, but still, he's at least the guy they're throwing to.
Exactly.
And he's always on the field.
Exactly. And he was a red zone target for Kirk Cousins, and I expect him to be a red zone target for him again.
Anyone else from there? CJ Uzama in a good matchup with potentially no Eifert again. I just don't think he's any good.
No, he's not that good. Cleveland actually does struggle against tight ends. I thought it was Cincy, but it was Cleveland who does struggle.
Cleveland struggles against tight ends, but I went through the game logs. I mean, a lot of their struggles against tight ends came against Gronk and Bennett.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
And Delanie Walker. So name brand tight ends can kind of, I mean, I know Delanie Walker didn't. It was whoever played in the week before. Jordan Reed. So guys who are really good at tight end tend to eat them up. Guys that aren't good at tight end tend to do nothing because they're no good.
Yeah. No, I think this is fair. Like, after those, I mean, Cameron Brait was good for a couple weeks.
I like Cameron Brait still.
It's because Winston throws the ball so much. Yeah. So I think he's also startable in deep leagues as well.
And Vincent Jackson is banged up, too. He's dealing with a knee injury.
Yeah. So Brait's like the number two option there.
Or Humphreys, I guess. But yeah. I think in the red zone where they look at Mike Evans and usually they kind of pivot and they're like, oh, there's that other big guy. Let's throw it to him instead. I think that's Mike Evans. Let's throw it to him.
Three guys on Evans. Let's go to Brait.
And then Brait's standing there. It's like, oh, that guy's not Mike Evans. He's the big, tall, white dude who's just kind of standing there and no one's covering him because everyone's on Mike Evans.
Yeah, I know. But most times Winston will still throw it
to him. Anyway, that's what's so great about Mike. He's still third in the league in targets. He's already been on bye week.
I know. He's been on bye week. He's still top 10 wide receiver in terms of fantasy points.
So good.
Yeah, he's awesome.
My teams did not fare especially well this week because I have Mike Evans everywhere.
Me too. I have him in a lot of leagues, and I was hoping that Robinson would step up. I got them both everywhere, so like, let's go Robinson. Let's step up.
This is the week for
Robinson. Let's step up, yeah. I thought last week could have been, but this is the
week. Hey, A-Rob started out hot last
week.
He did,
The first couple of drives. It's just that offense has been really struggling.
DSTs very quickly. The Broncos at number one against Brock. Yeah. Bills, Packers, Bengals, Vikings, Patriots. And the Titans at 7. I'm even thinking about moving them up. They're they're 10th in adjusted sack rate, 4th in overall sacks. They have at least 6 sacks each of the past 2 games. Now they're going up against the Colts, who do nothing but get sacked.
Yeah.
No. So even if the Luck scores 30 on them, they could still score 15 fantasy points.
Yeah, that's fair. For people who picked up the Titans to go against the Browns last week, you just roll them again, depending on who you had.
But people don't like streaming against the Colts, although the Colts have given up the most team points against fantasy defenses. So yeah. They're the team to play against.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just that Luck thing. Like, people think, oh, Luck is going to score a bunch of points.
And he might.
And he might, but he also may get sacked a few times, and he's known to throw picks.
Yeah,
he throws picks.
He has an interception in 4 or 6 games so far. Not afraid to fumble on that offense either. So no. You can make it up elsewhere. The Bucks, the Seahawks, the Giants, the Cardinals, Eagles, Dolphins, Rams, Raiders. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Check out the rankings if you really...
for sure.
I really don't want to start breaking down DSTs too much, but
no.
That's the one I really like this week of ones that aren't really highly owned.
Yeah, the Rams, too. Like, it's interesting with them. I know I have them in a couple leagues, and they put up 0 points last week, and it's like, and then I look, and I still see them as, like, a top 5 defense in terms of fantasy points. It's like they're always somebody that the team that you don't think does anything, but they have these games where they actually do. So
They're hitting
Eli could throw a couple picks.
Oh, of course, and you can get to Eli.
Yeah.
QBs to round this off. Tom Brady 1, Ryan 2, Phillip Rivers, Andy Dalton, famous Jameis Winston, Andrew Luck, Blake Bortles, Derek Carr, Marcus Mariota, and Matt Stafford are the top 10. That leaves Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, Drew Brees, the chef, Chef Hoyardee is number 15, Alex Smith, Eli Manning, Joe Flacco, Kaepernick, and Carson Palmer inside the top 20.
A lot of really good quarterbacks outside the top 10.
But
they're in tough matchups.
Bad matchups, man.
Really bad matchups.
Like, KC's a bad matchup anyway, and Brees putting him outdoors where Cooks isn't as good. Like,
yeah. The thing is like, with Brees, like, this is a thing that we have, like, enough stats to go by for the past 3 years. Brees has been awesome for a good 4 straight years. And wicked at home and struggles on the road.
Struggles is a bit much. He's still scoring, like, I think it's like 19 fantasy points per game outdoors. So it's not bad.
Do you think he's going to get 19 this week?
No. Thing is, he might.
Yeah.
I'm never going to count it out for Breeze, but I'd probably take the under on that number. That's why he's ranked at number 14 for me.
Yeah. I have him a little bit higher than you, but yeah, I still don't have him as like a top 7 or 8 quarterback this week.
Now, am I getting a bit weird here with like Rivers at 3, but like, you can throw on the Falcons. I expect that to be a high scoring game.
Yeah, this is the reason that I was like, it's like Rivers, when you look at him, you don't think of him as a top 10 quarterback. He is a top 10 quarterback right now. He threw more than anybody last year, and it's because he has inside that division, he has those like dud games, you know, against Denver and against KC, but then he really does well in these matchups that are good for him. So yeah, I do like this matchup.
I mean, Dalton against Cleveland. Cleveland has yet to give up fewer than 21 fantasy points to any quarterback. Yeah. It's not like they were playing Brady every single week. They played Mariota. Yeah. They played Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, they're
not good.
No, they played a rookie quarterback in Wentz.
Yeah, Wentz scored.
Yeah. So yeah, for sure.
Tannehill scored.
Tannehill like, did 30 well. Points yeah, off. Absolutely. No, this is fair. I mean, Dalton was great last week against the Pats.
It's just the touchdowns aren't there because Eifert's not there.
I know.
But that might not make a difference against the Browns.
No, AJ's going to have a monster. He's going to have a couple touchdowns probably. And Gio's going to catch some balls in the backfield. So, yeah, Andy Dalton, yeah, great matchup for him this week. Somebody that people can go pick up and start.
Yeah, I really like Jameis, too. And, I mean, we've talked about this upcoming schedule, but really in particular for this game, San Francisco runs the most plays in the league. So they run a very high pace. They don't wind the clock down at all. And then you look at the other side of the ball, Tampa Bay runs the fifth most plays.
Yeah, good
and
call.
And Jameis averages 41 pass attempts per game anyway. Yeah, yeah. He can get up to 50 here.
Yeah, no.
And, like, Doug Martin could still get 25 carries. Like, it might not matter.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And back to what we talked about, I don't know if Martin, even if Martin's healthy, like, I don't think it's going to be a Jonathan Stewart thing. I think he just, like, is
he's
eased
Doug Martin.
Into the role a little bit, and they just throw the ball a ton. So, yeah, I expect 40 passing attempts. Evans, a couple touchdowns. Yeah.
Maybe five touchdowns. I'd
like
that.
Baby, I'd love
that. I'd like that a lot.
Yeah, famous Jameis. Pick him up immediately if he's on your wire. He's got a great matchup, as we talked about.
Now, like Rodgers at Russell Wilson at 11, Aaron Rodgers at 12. Like, you start them if you have them, but I wouldn't feel good about it at all.
It's interesting. Like, I'm with you. Like, I would start, if I had Rodgers and I picked up Winston,
I would start
Winston over him. I would start Winston over him. I mean, look at other matchups. I'd start Winston over Russell Wilson. I'd start him over Drew Brees.
The thing is, especially with Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers is owned in every league, and you probably spent some decent draft capital to go get him. A, this is why you don't draft quarterbacks early. Mm-hmm. B, there is always the possibility that you leave a four-touchdown superstar Aaron Rodgers game on the bench in situations like this, but like he's not startable right now.
No, he doesn't look good, and he hasn't looked good from the get-go, and he didn't look good last year, and we just blamed it on Jordy.
Yeah.
He doesn't look good. He looks awful. He really does. Like, so joking with people in the office is like, that was Brett Favre night there. Like, bring him out for the second half because Rodgers looks awful.
Let's bring in some Brett Hundley.
Yeah.
Flacco is interesting at 18 against the Jets because the Jets are such sieves against the deep pass.
Yeah.
And he throws such a nice deep ball.
And he is going to throw a few deep balls. I mean, Mike Wallace is going to be involved. I like Wallace this week.
But Flacco
DFS.
Just hasn't looked good.
No, he hasn't looked good, but he still takes those shots. He still throws the ball a ton. It's like top five, I believe, in the NFL.
Kirk Cousins, I have at 13, going up against the Lions, who I mentioned that you really want to play quarterbacks against. But
it's on the road, though.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I don't like. And Cousins just lets me down.
Yeah, he lets everyone down. He has these games at home, and then on the road, it's just like he can't play in a different environment.
And let's not pretend like he played well last week against the Eagles.
Yeah, no, he didn't. He didn't play all that well. He had a couple deep passes to Deshaun and found the end zone. Like, the Eagles just didn't play well.
He threw a pick six as well.
The thing is like, yeah, he threw the pick six. And Philly just got like over 110 yards in penalty minutes, so that kind of helped a lot. They just can move the ball.
Penalty minutes? You're in hockey zone right now.
Yeah, yards. Yeah, my bad. So, yeah, I mean, Kirk Cousins, he's just a different quarterback away from FedEx. It's not somebody that you can really trust.
Chris Meany. Check him out on FST every single day, live on the Fantasy Sports Network at noon and on Twitter at Chris Meany. And again, tell us about this hockey show. When does it start?
It's going to start in November because Boston Pizza is working on this app. But again, it seems like it's a pretty cool thing. I mean, you could win weekly prizes, daily prizes. If you do good that night, you order Molson beer, you order wings, you get a pin.
Canada only.
Yeah, Canada only.
So come
only.
To Canada.
So come to Canada, have a good time, drink that high-powered beer that
Americans
we got
here. Need to calm down on the Canadian beer. Some of my American friends come up and they drink beer like, oh, it's like, give me a Budweiser. But they don't realize Budweiser in Canada is a bit stronger than it is.
It's like Big Daddy, that movie when they're in the court and it's like, yeah, that time in 92 when we were watching the Jays in the World Series, you know, we got pissed drunk on that Canadian beer. We got right hammered and ended up with a kid, and there it is. But yeah, the hockey show is going to be good. It's not just going to be about Boston Pizza draft that night. We'll talk about, you know, waiver wire pickups for game streams, all that good stuff.
And there's
take care of the DFS side as well.
There's not a lot of fantasy hockey content
You're right. So we'll get some good guys, get some good guests on the show as well. So look for that in about 3 weeks.
Got any names lined up? Pete Jensen?
Pete
probably?
Jensen will be on. Neil Parker, Michael Clifford. We'll get those guys on the go. They know their hockey pretty well.
That they do.
Yeah.
Got to get this Homercles guy on too. He's in Toronto. I'll have to hook you up with him.
Yeah, hook me up.
Legit.
Nice.
DFS guy just wins.
Oh.
I don't play a lot of DFS hockey. I've been playing DFS hockey
because
of him and winning.
Nice.
So, when I'm winning, I like to win. So, shout out to Homer, please. So, you might want to follow him if you want to win some easy bucks playing hockey.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm Pat Mayo. You can follow me at ThePME on Twitter. And remember to subscribe to the Pat Mayo Hour on YouTube and iTunes and Stitcher and Podomatic and all that fun stuff. The rankings will be updated up on rotoexperts.com and sportsgrid.com before the Thursday night game, again on the weekend, and anytime an injury changes, that guy will be moved so you can keep up to date on it all. All right? Okay, I'm Pat Mayo. I'll see you next time.